Okay. I have to just make sure that this is okay. Can you hear me?
Now I can. Hi.
So now we're recording. Hello,
Okay.
everybody. Welcome to the Home Care Administration Administrators Affinity Group. And for those of you who don't know me, I'm Lisa Smith, the Chief Program Officer here at the network. And I get Debbie Balk as my co-chair. She is from JFS Cincinnati, runs Star Point, right?
Very
Star
good.
Point. That's pretty good. Which is, of course, a home care agency. And she's going to be leading us in discussion. However, Elaine, I know you were just about to say something, so I don't want to cut you off. But since we started recording, I wanted to be proper.
Gotcha. I have a question. In our home support program, we would like to do some Holocaust training for our caregivers. I've reached out to a couple of people. I've gotten a very good response. Thank you, Tatiana, for your PowerPoint. Really appreciate that. I sent something off to a contact person in Montreal. I haven't heard back. Instead of reinventing the wheel, if people already have programs set up where it's a training for caregivers, not for other people, but for caregivers, even for volunteers would be fine. I'm wondering if you could let me know and if I would be able to have access to it.
What specific kind of training are you interested in? I
Well,
mean,
if a caregiver goes into the home of a Holocaust survivor, what should she be aware of? What are things that she needs to know about in order to do her care with the least amount of damage possible? Like, for some Holocaust survivors, having a shower is a very big issue, and they will avoid it at all costs. So it's helpful for a caregiver to know that before she tries to give her client a shower, for example.
Yeah.
You reached out to Myra Gibarovich in Toronto. That's what she does.
Okay, so can you
Could send
spell
you
that for
her, yeah, I could send you her contact information. She actually used to be connected with the Cumming Center, and she
me?
would pull Holocaust drop-in. She's since retired and moved to Toronto, and prior to her leaving, she provided a training to all my home care workers. And I know there would be a charge to her providing the training, but it's definitely worth reaching out to. Okay, so do you want to put it in the chat for me?
Yeah, I don't know her contact offhand.
Okay.
So what I'll do if this is going to work, Trisha, if you send it to me, I'll
Yeah.
send it. I'll write her CCU Elaine, and hopefully we can get it if she wants to give it to us for the resource library. She may just do that.
Perfect.
Okay, great. You see, that's why we have this affinity group, so that you all
Yay.
can share resources.
Yeah,
Tatiana, yes,
I'm just, yeah, I didn't we already have some written resources in our library? I remember in the beginning of
really?
of our affinity groups, I think we did put something in the library from other agencies that train their caregivers about Holocaust. Lisa, do you remember
I'm gonna
something?
look. I don't remember, but I'm gonna look it up as we're speaking. So let's see what happens. Okay, I'll try that.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Okay, Jill, can you hear me?
She's nodding yes.
Okay, so if you can just put your a community, that would be great, so we know where you're calling in from. Okay.
Will do. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so go ahead, Debbie. I'm looking
Yeah,
in the
so
library.
welcome everybody. As Lisa introduced, I'm Debbie Balk. I'm the co-chair of this group. I've met pretty much almost everybody, I think. And unfortunately, I'm not sure that Marissa, my co-chair, can join us today. And Lisa does have to log off in about 20 minutes, so or less. So we've shared the co-hosting responsibilities. Hopefully, when she leaves, nothing will happen so that I can maintain, but just know if we get cut off, that's what happened.
Hopefully you won't.
I will give a quick plug first for another meeting you may have gotten a message about. On June 17th, we are doing a combined program with other affinity groups, older adults, Holocaust, and disabilities, about advocacy. There was a lot of interest, especially after our last meeting, and also from the NJHSA conference, that there's a lot of, especially those of us who work with older adults in home care, are really struggling with advocacy and how to best represent our agencies and our clients, our caregivers. And so we're doing it as a joint session with some of our other counterparts. And so I hope you can all join us. We're going to have an expert on advocacy in the Jewish community. And I don't know, honestly, how useful it will be to our Canadian partners, because your government functions a bit differently than ours, but you're, of course, always welcome. If you have tips to share, we'll take that. So we just want to go around. Sometimes we have a speaker here, sometimes we don't, and today we don't. We were going to talk about caregiver shortages and any creative things you guys are doing to help in that area. So I will start, and then anybody who wants to go is welcome to. I'm the director of Starpoint Home Care of Cincinnati. We're an affiliate of Jewish Family Service of Cincinnati. And like everyone, we're suffering from a caregiver shortage, but I did attend a really interesting meeting this week. A group of local home care directors got together, and we had a little summit, and it was actually my first in-person meeting of COVID. And we talked about how we can share clients and share resources. And that was, it was really interesting to hear that even if we don't know we have a specialty, we may have a geographic specialty. That people could use our help. So if they have a case on, let's say, the west side of town, but they don't have any caregivers that are willing to go there, they could text in a group chat and say, does anybody have somebody? And it's less about competition and more about just working together. So it does present some issues, certainly with resources and competition, but it was interesting to hear people being willing to do that. And other than that, every time I think I have a creative idea, somebody else has already done it. So that is the challenge, or I think their idea stinks. One local company advertised this week and said, teachers, you're off for the summer. Would you like to be a caregiver? And I'm thinking, who's more burnt out than teachers right now? What teacher in their right mind is going to say, you know what I want to do on my summer break? I want to take care of senior citizens. And, you know, and I thought, like, really? I mean, my daughter's a teacher, so I know, and I know we all have teachers in our lives. So I was like, well, that's what I don't have to waste my time copying, because that one's pretty ridiculous. So whoever would like to go next and share sort of how, I'm glad, Tatiana, for you in Canada, that you don't have a caregiver shortage problem. If you, when the borders open up, if you want to send some my way, I'll gladly introduce them to the beauty of Cincinnati, Ohio.
Could you expand on the reasons behind the shortage?
And people can talk about what's different in their communities as well. I mean, in America, obviously, one of the wonderful things, but also challenging thing, is that the government, through COVID especially, has provided additional assistance to folks who were unemployed. And that has made their willingness to be employed challenging. So that's one piece. The other piece is, and I know in our area, and I'm sure it's in other places too, in anticipation of the minimum wage in the United States being raised to $15, some of the larger healthcare providers have already started with their lowest paying jobs at $15 an hour. And so it makes it very hard for us to compete when we don't quite, when we're still a little bit under that, when they can go work in a big hospital system, and make $15 an hour instead of being a home care provider. And so that's been another challenging. And it's always been a challenging. I mean, since I started this job, caregiver hiring has been like, it's the bug in my bonnet, you know, and it has always been challenging. It's not for everybody. And it's just always been a challenge, but it's gotten worse in the last year for sure, whether it's fears of COVID. You know, I have folks who've come to me in an interview and done the math and said, in order for me to work, make it worth my while to work for you, I need to make X.
What are you paying them, Debbie?
So we pay anywhere between $13.50 and $14.50 an hour, which is pretty high in our marketplace. We're really at the top of what home care is paying for the most part. I'd love to hear what everybody else is paying too. That would be helpful for me to know.
And what are people doing? How are people getting staff? Because you're not the only one, Debbie. I know that other.
Yeah, well, that's why we brought it up as a topic. So let somebody else. Go ahead.
So we actually had this conversation this morning, oddly enough, because we are able to, we have a very diverse population where we have English speaking, Russian speaking, and French speaking. And a lot of our French speaking certified PABs are going into the public sector, into the hospitals, into the CLSCs, into our government run programs, because A, they get paid significantly higher. They also get benefits, they get insurance plans. So the attraction is more for there. So recently, actually, we decided that we are going, our hourly rate is also $19 per hour per worker.
How much is it?
19.
19.
Wow.
And that was we did a $2 increase mid-March of 2020 last year to sort of thank them for working through COVID and the stress that that brings. And also what we just recently did is I sent out a blast email to all my French and Russian speaking home care workers to see if they know of anybody who they could refer, and there'll be an incentive program of some sort for them if the worker they recommend gets hired and stays on for about 3 months. Mm-hmm. And we're also reaching out to hear.
That's a good incentive.
Yeah.
Did everyone get that? Because you just said it, but I think that's a good incentive. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we're also reaching out to the local training programs that are specifically for French speaking workers and the universities and the nursing programs to see whether or not they have any referrals. But it's my biggest wait list right now happens to be our French speaking clients, because I don't have the bank of French speaking home care workers. It's hard.
Has anybody done sign-on bonuses for like the actual employee, like looking at it that way, like the new hire? No,
yeah, we have. It has not. Sometimes then they quit after day 90 or, signing bonuses usually also have to have at least some sort of contingency. Like,
Otherwise,
they'll show up for the first day of work and then
never come back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We recently we're finalizing and establishing a pretty hefty sign-on bonus to where the individual will eventually earn $1,000 over a 6-month time frame. Wow. And, you know, we know if we have the workers, we can then staff these clients, which is going to bring in that revenue, that profit, mm-hmm. to be able to, you know, it's going to work. But the way that we looked at it was on their first paycheck, they would get $100 to start. Mm-hmm. And then incrementally up through that 6 months, if they would average 20 hours a week, which gives them flexibility. So if we run short with assignments or they run, or they want to work more, we've based everything looking at a 20 hour work week. So, mm-hmm. But we had it, and I'm reading it right now. It's the reason why I was going to share it with you. We had $100.
You can share your screen if you want to.
I actually have it on paper because I just brought it back in from a leadership meeting a few minutes ago.
Okay.
But it was for them to get $100 on their first paycheck. So when they first go to work, we know they're going to at least work 4 hours. So we're not going to make anything off of that. But then when they get 450, when they average 20 hours per week for 90 days, And then they will get the remaining 900 when, 500 when they complete 20 hours. Then we also, 180 hours. Or we were going to do, when you average 20 hours per week for 80 days or quote 6 months, you get the full $900. So it can go either way. But we found that you really have to offer more up front. And then if someone refers a caregiver or a home care worker, those individuals can get up to $200 and they're paid within 10 days of the employee starting work. They'll get their first 100 and then they'll get an additional 100 when the employee gets a first payout. So tried to make it fair. And now we're concerned what we're going to do with our existing workers because they might get a little upset seeing something like this roll out. So we're talking about that too. And another thing I saw on the news was a lot of the barriers we're having here in the Virginia area is also with childcare providers because they are short-staffed like we are. They can't hire teachers. So we then thought about, okay, what if we offer childcare stipends for individuals to come back to work. But the industry in childcare is suffering as well. Similar situation because they pay their teachers about as much as we pay home care workers. And we're our rate right now, it does fluctuate a bit, but it's 12 to 16. We've been hiring retired nurses and people that are willing to work. We have to pay them a little bit more than we would our personal care aides or nursing assistants. But we started targeting that market and we've been able to get some retired RNs and LPNs that will go in and work and provide these personal care type services.
So. That's great. Thanks, Andrea.
Thank you.
If you could send Andrea, even via email to Lisa, the structure of that pay, I took some notes, but it would be great to have it just to share with everybody if you could.
Sure. I can definitely do that. And I will tell you our billing rate for our clients ranges $24.50 to $26.50 an hour. And we're actually probably low in our market. We could probably go to $28.30. Just based on our the private payers and long-term care insurances. Our Medicaid reimbursement just went up. So the state Medicaid went up to $15.31 in May. So we've got a little bit better. But everything I based on was with the bill rate of $24.50 an hour. So you'll see my kind of breakdown and calculation based on hours and those types of things, but I'll be happy to send it.
Great, thank
you. I can share a little bit about what we've been doing, but very succinctly, and we are a small program.
We're not actually, Jillian, compared to these other people, we're not small.
Okay.
How large are you?
We have 300 clients, 70 staff.
That's not small.
That sounds big. That
sounds big. No, that's why I jumped in. I'm sorry.
Sorry about that.
You know, Jill wants to grow it, clearly, Elaine. She thinks it's small.
So, but very, very simply, you know, I think that's been our experience since the beginning of COVID was that we have been short-staffed certainly at the beginning because we had so many staff who were reluctant to work and or who ended up never coming back to work, perhaps because of health reasons. In any case, now we're in a situation currently where we actually have staff available, so we are not short-staffed, and that's unfortunately because we have a few major clients, complex clients, who we were providing 24-hour care to, who have passed away. So that's just been in the last, Elaine, like 2 months, 3 months?
Around.
So right now we have the opposite problem where we have all these senior staff who are excellent and we're looking desperately to try and find work for them. But certainly we did raise our rates in the fall of last year to $1 more per hour based on whether it was household or personal care. We are currently paying our workers in our market.